from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Leading off for the Perkins and Spiegel Show, number 2, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
oh, sick.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair.
Yes.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Deep drive to left. Back goes Slater near the wall. That ball is gone. Two-run homer, Nico Horner. Cubs lead 2-0.
And that was awesome. That was an awesome swing. You know, he three hits today, playing great defense. You know, he's been making really good swings and just missing some pitches, but it's been really, really close. So to see him hit one out there, give us a little jolt to start.
And that one laced left field. Yelich back. Bucks some more.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 to Score.
How fun is that?
Oh, it's so fun. And Nico Horner is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. And this segment with Nico Horner is brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois for 18 years in a row. And we can talk about his .344 batting average in the last 8 games in a moment. But I'm told there were 344-plus people out there at Phillips Chevrolet last night for a little meet and greet with our guy, Nico Horner. You were packing him in there, Nico?
Yeah, I got to meet some of the good people of Frankfort, Illinois. I'd never been there before, and it was a lot of nice kids getting to hang out, talk some ball. It was a good time.
Wait, so there are kids there with the car thing? Were they driving? What were you doing exactly? What was this event, sir?
It was a signing and photo op of sorts. Got to meet some people, and it was at the car dealership, but yeah, it was a good time.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever been asked to sign?
I mean, the baby is strange.
To sign the baby, sign the baby itself, huh?
Yeah. So actually signing a small human is always a little weird.
Where do you sign? Do you go for the back on the baby?
Gotta go forehead? Thigh. Gotta go forehead? Fatty thigh, right?
I definitely stay away from skin at all costs. Like, you gotta go close 100%. I feel like it's strange in a different way. So, yeah.
No breasts.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to let you out there.
All right, fine.
Sorry, I didn't mean to not have your back as
no, it's
a partner.
Okay. It's okay. Fine. Fine. We'll talk about the Cubs.
No, well, let's talk about the .344 over the last 8 games. The swing looks good. The production is there. Does it feel like it's good? What's happening at this point?
Yeah, I feel good. I feel like the work's been pretty consistent as it usually is. Yeah, obviously nice to have some power production and do so early in games in a way that really impacts the course of the game. Hopefully, obviously, that didn't work out on Sunday, but, you know, anytime you can score first is a big deal. So nice to be able to set the tone in that way.
Yeah, dude, that was a moment. That was a moment because the day before was a moment. Like you guys winning the day before with Justin kind of letting his natural fire fly, like it just... Mm-hmm. It felt good for a lot of fans who've been frustrated. And then you homered to lead off. It was just like, all right, game on, here we go. And then it kind of didn't end as well. Were you feeling that sense of positivity after the home run? It looked like it, dude, that you were in that moment as well.
Yeah, it felt really good. I mean, I think, you know, people always say to treat the, you know, leadoff at bat or whatever it is, just like another at bat, or treat it like you always do. And, you know, I think it's all right to admit that it does feel different sometimes. It doesn't have to be a bad thing, but it, I think there's a real opportunity there and a chance to kind of set a tone for a game, or set energy, or however you want to call it. And obviously it can come in a lot of different forms, but hitting a home run is kind of the ultimate. So that felt really good. Yeah.
So what was your impression of that moment from Steele when he let the emotion out on Saturday?
I mean, that it made sense. It wasn't like it wasn't uncalled for or anything. I mean, I think, you know, people obviously handle strong emotions in different ways. And I think part of the reason that, you know, all of us understood where he's coming from is like, it's not something that you see him do often. So it's not like, oh, there he goes again or anything like that. That's a really consistent teammate who, you know, competes every day, but he's very positive. He's upbeat. He's focused, but, you know, just not wavering a ton emotionally like that. So, you know, you respect someone that much more when they, when it's not something they do often, because you know it's coming from a serious place. And yeah, I mean, it made sense to me. I felt the same exact way. Yeah.
We've asked you about things like that before, right? Like, is there enough outward emotion? Are people getting angry? Are you guys doing team bonding? Are you taking tequila shots? Like, it, when that happens, is it even addressed, or is it just, yeah, that made sense, and of course he's a leader and he has a right to feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to him. He talked to me briefly about it after the game, and I know he brought it up to some other people, not in a apologetic way, and he shouldn't be apologizing in any way, but just explaining where that's coming from. But I think he also got that, you know, what's understood doesn't need to be explained in some ways. And, you know, he's a guy that has everyone's respect in this locker room, and I've got a great relationship with and love playing with. And I think we all know where that's coming from. And I think one of the most impressive things too is that, you know, a lot of people kind of have that emotional spike and then lose it after that, but he put in a great outing even after that, and he was cruising before.
Yeah,
we played bad defense for him, so really impressive to stick it out and still put forth a really good outing, and we win that game. And just really impressive by him.
You know, we've talked on this show, and you've been so great at like letting us in on how stuff can feel, and it has seemed like you guys are still like locked in and efforting. But then, I don't know, man, like a couple of those things in Milwaukee, whether it's, you know, not realizing how many outs there were, or the bad defense behind Justin, it's like, are some of those things that you're on the lookout for starting to happen with this team in terms of pressing, or, you know, losing the focus or losing some optimism just a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, always hard to know just where one thing comes from. I think there's also, you know, things happen during a season that are often overlooked, but when things are going particularly poorly, the focus is that much higher on things that don't go well. But no, you're right. That was an abnormal streak of plays that weren't reflective of a team that's playing good baseball. And that's totally on us. I don't think it's a lack of preparation or focus or anything like that that you mentioned, but, you know, definitely not acceptable, especially in a stretch of just how close our games have been, right? We've talked about that before, of how small some of the margin is at this level and how important it is to have a good record in close games, especially one-run games. And, you know, it's not something that we've done well. So every one of those moments is a big deal.
We're talking to Nico Hoerner. Is it as crazy to you as it is to some of us that we're over halfway into the season and you guys are 11 games behind Milwaukee right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you go into a season, you're not thinking in terms of yourself and another team. I think it's more of just when you think of the belief the team has in each other and in the roster and in the group, and what no matter what kind of predicting you do, you want to feel like you're putting forth the best version of whatever you have. And I don't feel like we've done that. So yeah, it definitely stings.
You know, Sahadev wrote a good piece about it in The Athletic. What's your read on them? They've had injury. They don't spend as much money as the Cubs do, and they're consistently at or near the top of the division. Like, what's your read on their formula or how they do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think this year has been pretty different for the Brewers in some ways, because they, you know, obviously Woodruff and Burns have been at the heart of that team for so long, and really set a really strong standard for their pitching. But you know, without them, it is a different look from their team. Peralta's pitched really well against us this year for sure, but the production from their lineup has been really consistent, and it seems like they've been able to score in different ways, both with power and speed. So I think that there's some consistency in that.
You know, they always seem to get kids who come up and help. And you were a kid who came up and helped right away. And for some reason, it just hasn't happened quite yet. Did you guys think there would be more kids coming up to help you guys at this point, by this point in the season, kids from your own system, Nico?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think that it's been an interesting thing with our farm system, where we do have a ton of talent in the minor leagues, which is obviously a huge, huge positive, but they have been at some of the lower levels, seems like, for a while. So as far as guys really knocking on the door, you know, I'm not completely up on every bit of that right now, but I'm not quite sure that that's where our focus is compared to, you know, what we can improve on internally. But yeah, no, I think our mentality is much more so on the things that we have around us right now, and less looking outside.
I mean, of course, you're living your life, your day to day, you're playing games, and we're out here flailing in the breeze, wondering why the hell things are going the way they're going. Did you see your name come up in trade conversations though yesterday or the day before? Did you catch wind of that? That you came up in a trade rumor?
No, did you?
Yeah, we did. I mean, I did not come up in a trade rumor. Is that what you're asking? Nobody's interested.
That you saw it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, apparently, you know, that's going to be this time of year. But like you kind of stay offline, but it is now July. We actually do try not to talk about that year round in baseball on the show because it doesn't seem terribly productive. But now that it is, you know, within a month, how do you deal with it if you or your teammates get floated and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely another layer to, you know, challenges of not performing how you want to, right? I think July in general, I think, can be a challenging month as far as just outside narratives. If you let it, whether it's All-Star game stuff or even the All-Star break, just having that, it's a good thing to have rest, but it's just a different factor. And then obviously the time leading up to the trade deadline, as we saw last year and in previous years here, are pretty memorable, both one way or another. And, you know, from a personal standpoint, obviously I want to be in Chicago. I love playing here. And, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot I can do about that end of it right now, other than put us in a spot where, you know, we're not trading players, but, yeah, we'll just go one day at a time.
There's that cliche from baseball: the good Lord willing, one day at a time, we'll
amen.
Get the job done.
It is. It's why the game mirrors your life. You know, like
we're all day to day. Is that what you're saying?
We're all day to day. Danny is exactly right. He's just got to show up and go about it again today. And the Phillies are here. Anybody go to dinner with Schwarber last night? Off night in town.
I haven't heard from him. I hope he's. He's got a groin or something like that, right? He's on the IL. So
yeah.
It's unfortunate. Obviously, cool to see him get a nice reception here as he's had in the past. But yeah, they're playing good baseball, and obviously have had some good playoff runs in the last couple of years. So always fun to play the best and do it here.
Yeah, I was wondering about PCA. The at bat on, I think it was the sixth inning on Saturday, where he was 0-2. Then worked it back, then hit the single to give you guys the go-ahead run. It's like that's mm-hmm. it was a mature at bat, right? Because we've seen we've seen the pure speed, we've seen the man that guy can hit a stand-up triple. That's impressive, but that's also a product of pure speed. it's hard for me to know when a guy gets that hyped and then you see natural struggles at the big leagues. Like, should I react to a small sample? Should I downgrade from the hype? What do you think he profiles out as an offensive player in the big leagues? Because the speed and the glove is evident. I think the bat is trickier for someone like in our position to understand.
Yeah, I mean, projecting hitting in general is incredibly tough. You can have success all the way through the minor leagues, and as we know, it doesn't always translate. But it's been cool seeing how he's responded to having a more extended stretch here. I thought the swing he had off Peralta on Sunday, you know, his ball was a home run a decent amount of the time, high line drive to right center on a good four seam fastball, and so that kind of flush contact is really awesome to see. And you know, Pete has a lot of power and power to all fields, and you know, hasn't shown up as much in games yet, but that combination of skill set with his speed is really unique and something that just doesn't show up in our sport all that much. So yeah, as he continues to make get to see pitchers more, make more consistent flush contact, like, he's gonna produce more and more and more. And you know, I'm really glad he's getting an extended run right now, because I think it's really the best thing for him. And you know, I think he's learning how he can impact every single game regardless of the result with the bat, and then continuously improve with the bat as that catches up with everything else. And I think you're going to see a really special player. And, you know, there's no point even projecting a kind of ceiling or player comp for him, because it's going to be up to him and whatever he wants to make of that. And that's a really exciting thing to have, and a player that's helping us win in the meantime.
That's a really cool perspective to get. His battle of, like, yeah, you know, should I try to just get some contact and use my speed, or go ahead and use some of that slug that I have? That's a familiar battle for an offensive player in today's game, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not, and no one's telling him to, like, hey kid, like, chop the ball to the shortstop and beat it out or anything like that. You know, like, no one wants to limit him to that, because he's so much more than that. But you know, I think all of us, no matter what type of hitter you are, you want to have flush contact on the barrel as much as you can. And I think finding that intent, whatever that is, it comes and goes for even guys that have been here for a long time. And, you know, he's getting, you know, a really fun but challenging opportunity of playing pretty much every day and facing all these guys. And it's how you respond to those things that matters more than anything else. And that's kind of forever in this game.
All right. We love talking about issues around the game with you. Read this the other day about sticky stuff and how pitchers still get caught every once in a while, but they're not sure where it's coming from. This was in Bob Nightingale's piece in USA Today. A veteran executive told him this. You ready, Nico? We clipped and saved this one just to talk to you about. The key is trying to figure out how pitchers are doing it. Quote, if umpires started checking infielders' gloves, I think they'd find the answer. Unquote. Well, that's intriguing. Have you ever heard of a major league infielder holding on to some sticky stuff to maybe lend it to a pitcher in the middle of an inning, perhaps, anything like that? Does that ring a bell with you as something that happens in the league?
I haven't seen that or been around that firsthand. I mean, that's definitely a classic baseball thing, right? Whether it's a catcher, like, sharpening his catcher's gear to, you know, put a gash on a ball and let the pitcher scuff it and let the pitcher create movement, or maybe a third baseman has doctored his glove. You throw it around the infield after a strikeout and then it's extra sticky. But I mean, most of the time when if a ball's in play, it's going out of play. So those are pretty much out of the equation. I guess if you strike someone out, I could doctor a ball and get it to the third baseman to get it to the pitcher.
Yeah.
I do not think that's a big factor in what's going on right now, but maybe our infield is just behind the times and we need to help our guys out more.
Hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, Nico.
That's right.
No, so here's my theory. An infielder has, you know, a glob of the sticky stuff on the on a spot in the glove.
And then, that'd be easy.
And then a pitcher goes over to the infielder, says, hey, man, what's going on? And while they're dapping up and saying hello, have a good inning, he grabs the glob after he's just been checked. You know, what do you think of that theory, sir?
I think there's a way. I think there's probably a way there. And I think, but if the pitcher's really relying on it that much, that's just not going to be a very consistent source. And you'd see really varying spin rates like throughout the game. That would be pretty funny to track. Seeing a guy spin a breaking ball at 2,800 after every time after he sees the third baseman versus 2,200 otherwise would be pretty hilarious.
I'm hearing that analysis. You know, he just really gets into a good headspace after he high-fives Nico. He just really does.
Nico brings the best out of the changeup.
He does.
You mentioned the ball going out of play. All right, so what's the throw around the horn, like, rhyme or reason to it? I remember there was a play over the weekend where you threw the ball to first to make the final out of the inning. Then you're running off the diamond. Then first baseman throws it back to you. But then you turn and it's like you don't want the ball in your glove coming off the field. And you start playing catch and you throw it to someone else. And then they went to commercial break, so I couldn't see where the ball went. But is there a formula or the method to the madness of where the ball goes at the end of an inning?
Well, it depends if you're in the first or third base dugout. We spend most of our time in third base dugouts, whether it's home or on the road. We're in first base in San Francisco, so that changes the flow up a little bit. No rhyme or reason, but when it's between Dansby and myself, we won't throw it to the other person if they're like one of the first three guys up that inning, probably, because they're just going to the bat rack, kind of. We've never talked about that, but that's kind of just what we do. And then I like getting the ball and throwing it to the stands. I like, it's fun. I like picking a person out, trying to like actually throw it to one person. I always throw a knuckleball, some of them good, some of them not. The best is when I pick a person, they have a glove, I throw a good knuckleball to them, and they drop it. That's my favorite.
Because then they're going to be the fan that yells at you if you make an error in the field. But come on, Horner!
It's just satisfying to like throw a knuckleball. I feel like I got them.
Yeah, it's floating there in the breeze. All right, so Javi always needed the ball at the end of the inning. It was like you always had to make sure the ball got to Javi so he could throw it. None of you do that? Like, everybody's okay with
gotta
whoever ends up
touch.
With it?
Exactly. I'm good with sharing the love. I feel like I probably throw the bulk of them, maybe like 50%, and then a little bit split up otherwise. But, yeah, I like throwing it up there.
All right. Well,
and we'll be looking for knuckleballs that get lost.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, we're coming out. The rescheduled on the field broadcast, because we were up in the booth for the Lightning game against the White Sox the 23rd of this month.
Okay. Perfect.
So you can throw Shane a knuckleball and see if he can handle it.
In the booth?
No, we're going to be on the field.
On the field.
We're going to be on the field like we were supposed to be for batting practice. But yeah, if you want to throw one up to the booth, that'd be fun.
You can throw in the booth. You can get it there.
That's a long-distance knuckleball, yeah.
Hey, speaking of Shane, Council has an Odyssey softball T-shirt now. Does he wear it around? Does he show it off?
I'm sure he does.
At all?
Yeah, it's like it's cut off like those guys at the gym like this, and he walks around with it. No, I haven't seen it yet. Maybe we need a Rally Odyssey softball shirt from Council. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
He just continues to disrespect the club. Still undefeated, by the way. All right, Nico. Good stuff, man. We'll see you at the ballpark, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Thanks, man.
It's Nico Horner. It's brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois, 18 years in a row.
Yeah, the team is not helping the pitchers out enough with the sticky stuff. There's a lot more they could do, clearly.
You gotta be cheap. Yeah. That was you. Matt Schriftdog. little John Spiegel Schriftdog.
My brother's John Spiegel.
La Pantera.
I was just trying to say, I was,
you growled.
I leaned in a little too hard.
You growled a little bit. There's a little bit of a reverb.
I mean, for anybody who didn't hear it, I liked the Panther sound effect.
Well, I know it's inspiring.
I thought Shriffin nailed it.
I'm not saying that you didn't.
Once we did the forensic analysis of, like, does he actually sound like a Panther? The answer was yes.
I think that you actually liked it so much that you worked it in to your Nico Horner question. Now, challenge for you. Can you work the growl into a question to Jay Sawoski coming up at 3:40?
Oh, that's easy. I just see him, and he's appetizing. I growl in
the
his general
fact.
Direction. All right, that does sound awful. I'd like to apologize. I knew what I meant. I knew what I was trying to do. That's not what I did. I do have something for Jay. I have a new snack a snack I've never discussed with him. I need to get his and Rick Camp's thoughts on it on an I'm Fat podcast.
All All right, well, if it's too easy for you to work in that with Jay, maybe we'll find the most awkward person that we could book for the 5 o'clock hour, and you could try to growl with them in an interview. It's pretty good.
Well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Growl to Steve Stone. Oh, man. Oh, the possibilities are endless. A nightmare scenario of a local team was outlined on these fair airwaves earlier today. We explore next. Arr, on the score. Arr.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.